That I want to deal with tonight is how to pass from curse to blessing. I'll say that once more. How to pass from curse to blessing. I believe that this message can be of tremendous help to many of you here tonight. I believe I've proved this over the past years, that this message can change lives, communities, churches, and even nations. I believe there are many of you here tonight who are fighting something that you don't fully understand in your own life. Some kind of frustration. Something that every time you're about to succeed intervenes and keeps you from success. Something that holds you back from being a complete person, from being completely free, from being able to serve the Lord the way you would wish to, from leading a life of real victory. I believe in many cases, the problem that you're fighting with, that you've never diagnosed, you've never come fully to grips with, is that there is a curse over your life. I'd like to tell you, first of all, a little of how I myself was led into this truth. Some years ago, in a Presbyterian church in America, I was conducting a deliverance service. I'd come to the end of my message and had not yet begun to minister. I was standing behind the pulpit, and on the front row on my left, I noticed a family, father, mother, and teenage daughter. And as I glanced at them, it seemed to me, the Holy Spirit said to me, there's a curse over that family. I had no other reason except that it seemed to me the Lord showed it to me. So I stepped from behind the pulpit, went up to the father, and said to him, "Sir, I believe God has shown me that there's a curse over your family. Would you like me to revoke that curse and release you from it in the name of Jesus?" And immediately he said yes. I had no idea at the time why he so immediately accepted that statement. So I stepped back behind the pulpit and said a short, simple prayer, breaking the curse over that family. And when I said that in the name of Jesus, although I was not in contact with any of them, there was a visible physical reaction in each of them when I broke the curse. Then I noticed that the girl, the teenage daughter, had her left leg in a cast from above the thigh to the bottom of the foot. So I went back to the father and I said, "Would you like me to pray for the healing of your daughter's leg?" And he said, "Yes," but he said, "You need to know that she's broken it 3 times in 18 months and the doctors say it will not heal." Now today, if I heard that one statement, that a person had broken the same leg 3 times in 18 months, I wouldn't have any other need to know that there was a curse over that family. Well, because the leg was in a cast, I said, "All I can do is just hold the cast in my hands and pray." And I did, and prayed a simple prayer. Now, the story is more complicated, but I'll tell you just the main outlines. Shortly afterwards, I got a letter from the father thanking me for what had happened, and saying that when they went back the next time to the clinic to have the leg x-rayed, the x-ray showed that it had healed. And she was soon out of the cast. Now, as I meditated on that experience, this thought came to me. God showed me there was a curse over the family and led me to break the curse before he permitted me to pray for the healing of the daughter. Why? My conclusion was that she could not have been healed until the curse was revoked. In other words, the curse was an invisible barrier that kept her from the blessing that God wanted her to receive. And then God began to deal with me about this whole matter of blessing and curse. And as I turned to the scripture, I was amazed at how much the Bible has to say about it, and how little has been preached in most of the places and congregations that I'm familiar with. Then I'll tell you an up-to-date testimony, which I heard when I was in South Africa in November of last year, I met a Jewish lady who's a believer in Jesus, saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and she told me and Ruth this testimony personally. She was a very highly qualified executive secretary, and under the influence of some teaching that she'd heard, Christian teaching, she prayed to get the best paid job in her profession in Cape Town, and she got it. And she found herself working for a man who was a president of his own particular business, and she soon discovered that this man and all the executives in the company were in some strange kind of cult that was led by a woman prophetess. And in a little while, her boss said to her, "Our lady guru, whatever you want to call her, has pronounced blessings over all of us. We'd like you to type them out for us." Well, when she started to type them, she discovered that they were anything but blessings, and as a committed Christian, she didn't feel free to type them. So she went to her boss and explained the situation and said, "I just don't feel free to type these." And the boss was very gracious, and he said, "I'm sorry, but I didn't realize it would go against your conscience. Of course, we wouldn't ask you to do that." Now, I don't know exactly what happened next, but my guess is that this lady guru heard about this incident and prayed some kind of a prayer for this executive secretary, which wasn't really too good a prayer. Anyhow, almost immediately after that, this lady began to develop acute arthritis in both hands, and her fingers curled up and became absolutely rigid and stiff. She couldn't bend them, she couldn't do anything in her profession. And the pain was agonizing. She couldn't sleep at night, she couldn't sleep in the same bed with her husband, because every time he moved, the movement of the bed caused such pain in her fingers that she couldn't sleep. She went to a professional in this realm, a doctor, and he diagnosed it as rheumatoid arthritis. Well, a friend of hers, another Christian lady, had heard my three messages that I mentioned here this evening, curses, cause, and cure, and brought the cassettes to her friend, the executive secretary, to listen to. And they got through the three cassettes to the end of the third, where I lead people in a prayer of release from any curse over their lives. At that point, the cassette jammed. It wouldn't go forward, it wouldn't go back, and it wouldn't eject. Now, that's a totally supernatural situation. But the lady who brought the cassette said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I typed out this prayer of release, and I have the typed version with me. I'll ask you to read that instead." Well, this Jewish lady was pretty sophisticated, and she really didn't believe very much in curses. She thought there was something medieval. She'd listened to the cassettes just to please her friend. And at first, she didn't want to read this prayer of release. But eventually, she agreed with her friend to read the prayer, and as she read it out loud, and it doesn't last more than 3 or 4 minutes, her fingers uncurled, became completely free, the pain ceased, and by the time she had finished reading the prayer of release, she was perfectly healed. She then went back to the same doctor and had him check her, and he said, "Medically, you are totally healed." That came only by one thing. There was no prayer for healing. All there was this prayer of release from a curse. All right, now let's look at the Bible and see what it has to say about blessings and curses. First of all, there's a lot in the Bible about them. You'd be surprised how much there is. Both blessings and curses are usually expressed in words, either spoken words or written words. But those words are not normal, ordinary words. They are words that are charged with supernatural power. And the power may be the power of